Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 62nd Psalm, Psalm 62, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 628. Be reading the first six verses of this psalm, and we'll read the verses responsively. It's our custom to stand during the reading of the scripture, so may we stand, please, at this time. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. Now the fifth verse is the text verse. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And let's pray. Father, how good you are to give us a place and a people and a preacher. Thank you for all that you mean to us. Thank you for this service. And prepare our hearts and our minds, and even as you've already prepared our preacher, and help that this service might accomplish all that you'd want it to. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the most misunderstood lines in the Bible is that passage, and we read a while ago, that says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I'm going to teach you something this morning that most of you never heard before. That little line, my expectation is before him, does not mean what you think it means. The psalmist is not saying there, I've asked God for something, and I expect to get it from him. He's not saying that. He's saying my expectation itself is from him. And I want to talk to you for a while. I believe this could be a life-changing time for you who are God's people, if you'd listen carefully to what I think is one of the most tremendous truths in the Bible. My expectation is from him. That's both the title and the text for our message this morning. Father, bless, I pray, this truth to our saved hearts. And may our lives be enriched and in some cases transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. I cannot even begin to comprehend the heaviness of the heart of David in the 62nd Psalm. Would you for a few minutes lend me your mind as I place upon you the burden that David had upon himself? David had a son. His name was Absalom. His son was a handsome and a very gifted, talented, strong, courageous young man. David's son, Absalom, decided that he wanted his father's crown on his brow. He wanted his father's scepter in his hand. He wanted his father's throne for himself, and he wanted his father's palace for his palace. To those of you who have sons, this is totally beyond comprehension. His son rebelled, gathered an army of David's subjects, and declared war on David and his armies. And David's own son was leading a battle against his own father. A battle of treason, a battle of insurrection, a battle of rebellion. He was going to be, he thought, the king. David wouldn't fight. He let his own forces fight, but David would not fight. He is no way, David said, will he lift up his hands against his own son. So David leaves the palace and leaves the city and goes away. He can see the dust of the battle, but David does not participate in the battle, for he will not lift his hand up against someone. Now, follow me. David said, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know. I don't know what to ask God to do. My son is in battle against me. For what shall I ask? Shall I ask for victory over my son? Shall I ask for my son to have victory over me? For what shall I ask? And David says, I don't know. I don't know what I want. I don't know what to expect. So David says, my expectation is from him. Now hear me carefully. He did not ask for his needs to be supplied, for David did not know his needs. He did not ask for his desires to be supplied, for David did not know his desires. He said, he's saying, Lord, I ask for you to give me the desires that I ought to have so I can ask for those desires that you give me to be filled by what I need. He's saying, Lord, I don't ask you, were you ever hungry and didn't know what you were hungry for? I've often thought, if I ever invent anything, I'm going to invent a little thing you put in your tongue like a thermometer. Put it in your mouth, and you have different foods listed on that thing, and then a little arrow goes to the one that you're hungry for. Like, you know, like cheese quarter pounders or Whoppers or McDonald's chicken or eight salt fish. And but David said, I don't know what my appetite is. How can I ask for something to satisfy my appetite if I don't know what I want? He said, Lord, my expectation is for you. He's not saying, Lord, I ask you for what I want. I ask you for what to want. That's what he's saying. You know, he's saying, I don't know what I want, so give me what to want. Control my desires and give me the appetites I should have. You know, most of our unhappiness is caused by the distance between our wants and our haves. Let me say it again. Most of our unhappiness is caused by the distance between our wants and our haves. There's something I want, I don't have, so I'm not happy about it. There's a place I want to go, I can't afford to go, so I'm not happy about it. There's something I want to be that I cannot be, so I'm not happy about it. And so most of our unhappiness is caused by the distance between our wants and our haves. Turn me down just a tad, would you please, up there? If we can reconcile those, our joys can be filled. No note taking now. I said every service, I'm preaching to you. I'm not lecturing to you. I want you to sit up and look at me and listen to me. I'm trying to change your life. Now, I'll make it now again. All Howells Anderson College preacher boys, put your pencils up. Put your notepads up. Put your eyes on me. I'm going to change your life if you'll get out of class and come to church. Now, listen to me. If we can somehow reconcile our wants with our haves, we can be happy. You see, we leave the will of God because of this. There's something I want, I don't have, I'll go where it is. There's a climate I want, we don't have, I'll go where it is. There's an area I want, I don't have, I'll go where it is. There's a job I want, I don't have, I'll go where it is. More people leave the will of God for this one reason, because their expectations do not come from God. Their appetites do not come from God. Their desires do not come from God. And if you could ever somehow reconcile your appetites with your haves and your haves with your wants, you'd know what happiness is. We go into sin because of this. There's something I want. I can't have it unless I go into sin. I'll go into sin and get it, and so I want it, because I can't have it, but I'll have it, and that's sin. Now, I mean this morning when I say this. You are looking this morning at probably the happiest man you ever saw.
I mean that. I'm happy. Now, you know why? I'm happy. I don't want anything. I don't know of anything I want. I don't know, unless it be a nice toupee. I just don't know anything I want. They don't make the house I'd like to have. One I want nicer than anyone they make. They don't make the car. They don't make the car I'd walk across the street to get. The one thing there's no furniture I want. There's no house I want. There's no car. But you say, preacher, you've got a nice house, a nice furniture. No, but didn't want it before I got it. Nothing I want. There's not one single object. Now hear me. Why am I happy? Because there's nothing in the world that I want that I don't have. My haves are equal to my wants. And now, sometimes I get something, I want it, I want to keep it. But you know, this is great. I wish I didn't know this so I could learn it. When I do like this, I'm really getting happy. I am. You know, it's a wonderful thing to get something and then want it. Because if you get it first and then want it after you get it, you never disappoint it because you don't have it. Can you understand that? I mean, isn't that good? It's not very good, is it? But I love it. I love it. So, my wants don't come until my gets. So when I get it, I want it. Hey, the other day, Dr. Evans was in my office. And he had on a pretty suit. It's a shame to put that on a body like that. And he had on. Really, it was a knockout. It really was. And now, I didn't want the suit. I wanted him to have it. I didn't want one like it. I wanted him to have it. Because he needs more help than I do. But I didn't want it. But it was pretty. I mean, it just hit me. And Dr. Evans and I are about the same size. And so I said, Doc, boy, that is pretty. He said, thank you. I said, where'd you get it? He said, Joe Hirsch. I said, man alive. That's the kind of suit they'll never have my size in when I'm there. And I said, boy, that's pretty. Well, the next morning, it was on Saturday, I said that. Next morning, I was in the office, and Doc brought a suit in. And I said, Doc, you going to change clothes? And he didn't say anything. He just took that suit and hung it in my closet. Dumb me. I never thought anything. And after church was over, I went in there. It was the suit. And Doc had brought that suit to me. I remember I was down in Greenville, South Carolina one time. And a fella, I bragged on his coat. He had on an orange coat. Loud. And I bragged on it. And I said, boy, that's a pretty coat. He said, Dr. Tiles, I was called to preach under your ministry. You're my favorite preacher. He said, I want you to have it. Took his coat off and laid it down on a table there and started to walk away. I said, hold it. Man, those pants are pretty you've got on. And he said, you've gone too far. But now, listen, Doc gave me that suit. It was a new suit he had bought. I bragged on it. He gave it to me. Now, when you gave it to me, Doc, I wanted it. But I didn't want it before you gave it to me. Now, I didn't want you to have it. But I didn't want it. Why? Because I never let my wanter get ahead of my getter. Because if my wanter gets ahead of my getter, I'm not happy. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you, not me. No way. No way. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm happier. My disposition depends on me. No way. I am not going to let my wanter get ahead of my getter, because my wanter gets ahead of my getter, then my getter gets unhappy about it, and I want something, and I'll sometimes go in debt to get it. I'll spend money I don't have to get it. I'll get my credit card out and use it. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it to get it, and I want to have it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. And that's why you're unhappy. And so the psalmist said, my expectation is from him. I'll say this, there's nothing that I want today that I don't have or can't get. Now, how's this done? You say, preacher, I'd like to be that way. I'd like for you to be that way, too. Tell you what to do. It saved many a divorce. It saved many a bankruptcy. It also prevent many a buy, many a purchase. You know, that little house that you have now that you don't like is the one you wanted when you had the one before you have now. And that car you have now, you don't want, is the one you lusted after when you had the one that's not as nice as the one you have now. You know, I was thinking this morning, wouldn't it be a good thing if cars became means of transportation again? Wouldn't it be a good thing if a coat became something to keep you warm? Wouldn't it be a good thing if a hat was something to cover up your bald head? I mean, wouldn't it be good? And yet the truth is, we have let advertisement, television, billboards, radio, absolutely create wants beyond our ability to get, and we're the most affluent society on the face of the earth. We're the best fed society on the face of the earth. We're the best dressed society on the face of the earth, and we are the most miserable society. Why? Because we have allowed ourselves to create wants before we can get, and we have wants that are beyond our haves, and we have wants beyond our ability to get, and because of it, we are unhappy. I learned one day what Jeremiah 33:3. I'm about to give you something. Boy, you are fortunate today. I learned one day what Jeremiah 33:3 really means. Now, hear me carefully. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, wait a minute. You know, for years, Brother O'Claire, I thought that meant ask God for something, he'll give it to you. It doesn't say that. It's just call unto me. It didn't say ask me. Just call. He said, talk to me, and I'll give you stuff you'll be surprised about. Didn't say ask me. This is not talking about asking for something. And listen, there is, it doesn't say ask me. It simply says talk to me. Now hear me. God is saying here, I not only know your needs or wants, but I know your appetite. I know not only what is best for you to have, I know what is best for you to want. And God says, you just simply hang around me and I'll give you what you need. He said, I'll create your appetite and I'll fill that appetite. Listen, one of the greatest things in this whole world is to not have appetites beyond your ability to fill. Better still, not have appetites beyond what you don't have. Want what you have. Illustration. Now, you do this, I'm not mad at you if you do it. You're dumb if you do it, but I'm not mad at you. I like you, I love you, but I don't do it. Never have done it. I've never, Doc, had our kids fill out a Christmas list and give it to me. Never have. I don't want it. I don't want to know what our kids want for Christmas. You know why? Because they give me that list, I know I can't afford everything on that list. And if they don't get it all, they're disappointed. And so, I could spend too much money on them and they'd be disappointed. Why? They gave me a list. God said, He said, hang around me, and I'll give you what you need, and I'll give you what you want, and I'll give you an appetite that makes you want what you need. And he said, I'll surprise you with it. Don't give me a list. I'll surprise you. Now, don't understand me. If you want to make a list, give it to God. He'll take it. But it's a whole lot more fun when you don't know what you're getting. You ask our kid. They'll say, in fact, they often say, Dad's Christmas gifts are always such great surprises. You know why? Because if they gave me a list of stuff they wanted, there's not one thing on that list I'm going to get them. I just say, Cindy, Melinda, Becky, David, you be good boys and girls all year, and Daddy will make you happy on Christmas. You just be good. Now you can live, if you want it, you can live. So you say, Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this, and that's not bad. But to me, the happiest way to live is say, Lord, I love you, you know what I want, you give me an appetite, you fill that appetite, you give my desire, you give my want, you give my needs, you tell me what to want, and then you tell me, then I'll ask for what I want, and you just surprise me, and I'll guarantee you, if you learn to walk with God and delight yourself in God and live in this book and live on your knees, I'll guarantee you, you'll get more from God than you'd get if you went around begging all the time. That's what it means when it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, Jeremiah 33:3 says, now hold it, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with asking what you want. Nothing wrong with it. He's your father. You're his young'un. Go ahead, make out a list if you want to. But I'll tell you what, you'll get more than on the list if you'll just enjoy him and fellowship with him. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee. And then besides that, I'll show you great and mighty things thou knowest not. Now, something else. Not only did I learn what Jeremiah 33:3 means, I learned what Psalm 34:7 means. 34:7? 37:4. That's what I got down here, but it didn't sound right. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the what? Now, hear me carefully. Here's what you think that means. You think, here, I desire. I delight myself in the Lord. He'll give me what I'm desiring. No, you can't delight yourself in the Lord and have a bunch of desires, too. He said, you delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires. Not just the filling of the desires. I'll give you the desire. I'll place within you not only what you want, but I'll place within you what to desire. I'll give you the desire. For example, I have a desire to eat. And I feel that desire 8 or 10 times a day. And I have a desire to sleep. I have a desire to preach. Now, those are desires. And the Lord, now, I don't understand me. God delights to give us what we ask for. And the Bible said, ask and ye shall receive. That's good. But there is a graduate course to where you can so delight yourself in God. Your desire is fellowship with him. Your desire is his book. Your desire is your prayer closet. Your desire is to serve him. And God says, okay, you delight in me. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't say read your Bible. It said delight in reading your Bible. It's fun. It didn't say pray. It said delight in prayer. Doesn't say go soul winning. It says delight. Go soul winning. Listen, I mean this. This is the truth. I'm not preaching. I'm the honest to peach truth. I enjoy this Bible more than I enjoy the newspaper. That's the truth. I mean, listen. I pick up the Bible. Doesn't say troops land in Grenada. Doesn't say wild man runs into building. U.S. troops killed. Doesn't say it. It says, all things work together for good to those that love God, those called according to his purpose. No bad news here. It's all good news. I like it. I enjoy it. Oh, you say, I'm going to read the Bible. I promise God, at any cost, I'll read the Bible. Now, you won't get what you want. But if you say, I love this book. Oh, I love this book. And I don't mean I love it to get comfort with. I mean, I love it. Ha ha. I love it. Whoopee. I love it. Hot dog. Love it. When you get to the place where you'd rather talk to God than talk to somebody else, and you get to the place it's more fun to read the Bible than to read the newspaper or the magazine or watch the box. If you get to where it's more fun to serve God than it is to have a picnic or a day off, when you get to where the most fun you have in the world is fellowship with him and serving him and loving him, God says, I will give you the right kind of appetites so you can ask me for what you need because I placed in you what you should ask for, and then you ask for it, and I'll give you what you ask for. Can you understand that? Man, that's good. Man, that's good. Don't just sit there and feel something. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee your desire. What to desire? What to want? Then I also learned what Isaiah 62:5 means. My expectation is from him. Now I want to make this very plain. I want all I got. But I don't want what you got. No way. Brother Ray, how tall are you? There's no way I'd want to be 6'2". No way. You go to a store to buy a suit, you got to have the dumb thing altered, right? No way. Brother Keith, how you doing? Brother Wirtz? No. Brother John? No way I'd want that head of hair you got. No way. You know, to me, To me, the perfect head of hair is when you got enough to pull over. It's sort of homemade toupee. To me, the perfect height is 5'11 and 3/4. And the perfect weight is what I weigh. I mean, why should I want to be like you? God made me like this. I mean, if God had wanted somebody bigger, he'd have made me bigger. If God had wanted somebody taller, he'd have made me taller. I don't want to be like you. I see hundreds of churches. Through the years, I've seen thousands. I've never seen one I wanted. One I've had, that little first little church I had with 19 members, $7.50 a week salary. That's on the church. At that time, that's the only church I ever wanted. Why? It's one I had. That second little church I had outside Marshall, Texas. 39 in Sunday school the first Sunday. That time, I went to church. In fact, I had 7 pulpit committees in 7 weeks came to see me about taking other church. Never saw a church I wanted. Never did. I drive in hundreds and hundreds of cars a year that belong to other people. Never saw one I wanted. I drive in Lincoln, Continental, and Cadillacs, and Mercedes, Benz. Never saw one I wanted. Never did. You know why? Because I delight myself in the Lord, and he didn't give me that desire. Because he knows I can't fulfill that desire. And since he knows I can't fulfill that desire, he did not give me that desire. My expectation is from him. I'm in hundreds of houses. never see what I want. You know, somebody said, Brother Hiles, hear me now. Brother Hiles, it's no fun to give to anybody like you. There's nothing you want. You got a mistake. That's not true. There's nothing I want when I don't have it. But you try to give me something, you see if I can't want it in a hurry. Dot, that suit is being altered now. It's being let out in the shoulders and taken up in the waist. And it's being altered right now. Now, I want that suit. I'm not kind of giving it back to you. I didn't want it. I was happy you had it the other day. But now that I've got it, I want it. See, because my wanter is within my ability to get. And my wanter has not run ahead of my getter. And so, I want him. So, listen, it's easier to buy for somebody like me. If I wanted something, folks, you'd have to afford what I want to please me. But since I don't want anything, whatever you give me is exactly what I want the minute I get it. Makes it easier. It makes you be able, listen, whether it's a suit of clothes like Doc gave me, or a Reese peanut butter cup under my door, or a few pennies that little children stick under my door and say, oh, you want more, Brother Howells? I don't care what it is. When I get it, it's exactly what I wanted. Because God gave it to me. And use you as a tool to get it to me. And the happiness of receiving is much greater. First place, I'm never disappointed. Second place, I want it when I get it. Third place, I praise God more for it because God knew what I wanted and God gave me my desire. He gave me my expectation and then he gave me that to fit it. Better still, he gave me that to fit it and then gave me the expectation. What a way of life. What a way to live. The whole secret of it is to delight yourself in the Lord. Some of you folks this morning sit in the church service like this and you say, how can that guy have so much fun up there just hollering and screaming and beating the pulpit and clearing his throat? How can he have so much fun? I don't know, but don't you wish you knew? Don't tell me you never see anything you don't want. Or you want. I see what I want when I get it. If I can get it, then want it. My getter and my wanter are together. If I want it, and then get it, I may not get it.
And so when David saw the dust of the battle rising, his own son was fighting against his own forces. Now, David wanted to keep the palace, but he wanted his son to have what he wanted too.
And David wanted to keep the throne, but he
didn't want his son to be disappointed.
And David wanted to win the battle,
but didn't want his son to be killed. And David said, "Dear God, I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what I want. I don't know what my appetite is in this case. And so, Lord, I'm not going to ask you to give me anything, except I'm going to ask you to give me my expectation. Would you teach me what to want? And then I can ask you for what I want. But I'm not going to, in this case, trust my own water. I'm going to ask you to give me my water." Man, if I could transfer this thing into your life today, this could be one of the great days of your life. My expectation is from the Lord. That even gets you to where you'd put up with your old man. You got him. Now, if you want her, it comes after you get her. You'd like an old bald-headed fat fella. Save you an awful lot of bills and monthly payments. That refrigerator you want to trade in is the one you lusted for a few years ago. That carpet you got in your living room is the one you nagged for a few years ago. That old beat-up rattle-trap car is the one you had car fever. You had to have it. But you could say, "Dear God, not only do I ask you to give me my wants, but I ask you to give me what to want. And Lord, I not only ask you to give me the fulfillment of my appetite, but I ask you to give me my appetite. And Lord, I ask you, I'm going to delight myself in you. I'm going to love you, love to spend time with you, love your book, love to pray, love to serve you. I'm going to delight myself in you." He says, "Say, now this may sound funny to you, but well, in 10 minutes for prayer time, in 10 minutes I get to pray. Hot dog! In 10 minutes I get to talk to God. Hey, just 9 more minutes of prayer time, like a football team before kickoff, like the World Series." Before the opening pitch. Guess what? I've got the never living, never dying Word of God in my hand. This is God's book. Always was. Somebody said that book was written before the foundation of the world. No, that book was never written. Never was a time when it was not the Word of God. The Word of God never wasn't. You professors, take that one. Never was, wasn't. Always was. Listen. God always was. There never was a time when there was no God. Never was a time when there was no Word of God. Now, brother, you got that. You got that in you. In your living room. And you got something that's less than 3 hours old on the newsstand. And you pick up the newspaper and read something that happened last night, when you can pick up off your coffee table. I'm sorry, your juice table. You can pick up a book that always was. Always was. And you can say, "Hot dog, goody, goody, man, oh man, whoopee, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm about to read the Bible." And the Lord says, I'm going to give you your wants. I'm going to tell you what you want and give you your water. And then I'm going to surprise you by caring for you and loving you. I love the scriptures that say, "Ask and you shall receive." I love that. I love the scriptures that say, talk to us about giving us answers to prayer. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and he shall give you." I love those scriptures. I also love the ones that says, "Just call on me now and just stay close to me." And when you open the presence, you're going to be surprised, but you also going to be beyond compare happy.
because I give you not only what you ask for, but I give you the desire to ask for it. I not only satisfy your appetite, but I give you your appetite. I not only give you what you want, but I give you what to want. And when you get there, you're just about to enter into a new, beautiful era of the Christian life. Our Heavenly Father.
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, the 15th chapter. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, then the book of Ezekiel. And in your Schofield Bible, page 854. Ezekiel, the 15th chapter, and we'll be reading all 8 verses. The text verse is the second verse, and you'll take note of that, please. We'll read the verses responsively, and may we stand, please, all of us standing as we always do. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or then a branch which is among the trees of the forest, shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meat yet for any work? When the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, As the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem